session number 30638, Mr. Peter Wayne, Reel 5. Now, we talked about the time when you were at Camp L, probably for Lawrence, but, you know, during the time from July 40 to January 41. Now, we've talked about some of the aspects of your time there. Anything else come to mind that you
recall?
Yes.
In about September, August-September, we were suddenly summoned to our central camp hut, administration hut, where we met a very nice gentleman who introduced himself, I forget his name, as a representative of the Home Office from London. He started to interview all of us, or most of us, and said that there was an option for early release from internment if we volunteered for the Pioneer Corps, which initially was called the Auxiliary Military Pioneer Corps Aliens Companies.
Now, what did you think of that offer at the time when it was made?
When this offer was made, we were to some extent relieved because it was a way out from the boredom of internment. And at the same time, we sort of muttered such thing, what a cheek, after all this treatment, they now want us to fight for them and take the chestnut out of fire. The majority of us, however, felt that it was our duty, almost our duty, to fight against the Nazis, because that was one of the reasons why we had to flee and come to England. The more elderly internees were not so enamored by this proposal and preferred to stay. And as far as I know, they were released fairly soon after we had departed. Some of them stayed in Canada. Some emigrated from there to the United States. I was, as many of others, the younger ones, we were 21 at the time, 20 in our 20s, were accepted.
Were there any tests or physical?
Yes, there were physical tests we had, but we were still. The Canadians were not, I believe, aware of this procedure, because in October, I remembered, we were issued with very warm anoraks. It gets very cold in Canada in October. And all these anoraks had a big red circle at the back, which no doubt was very useful for target practice if any of us had attempted to escape even then.
So, any other cold weather clothes or just the anoraks?
We got the anoraks and we got boots and warm clothing. So we were well looked after. We were treated almost, I believe we were treated as prisoners of war. And there the Geneva Convention applies, and the Canadians were meticulous in applying these rules. Although it's ridiculous because we were civilian internees. However, we were then transferred to another camp, which was near Montreal, where most
everyone, or just the
one? No, only we were split up. We were split up, and most of the and all the potential pioneers, pioneer applicants, were transferred to a camp near Montreal, whence we were taken to Halifax in Nova Scotia by train and shipped back to England.
Do you remember the name of the ship?
No, it was a Belgium freighter. And we again could not see any warships accompanying us. We went unescorted without a convoy into the U-boat infested Atlantic.
And this was January 41. What do you remember of that voyage?
It was a rough voyage, but of course we were much better treated than we were on our way out to Canada. We had adequate food, conditions were crowded, there was a lot of, the sea was very high, a lot of us were seasick, and every time, but I remember some of us had developed a sort of fatalistic sense of humor, and every time there was a noise in that boat, somebody said, oh, well, it's just a torpedo knocking at the boat, a sort of fate. We were worried, but we didn't show it. I mean, after all, we were going back to England, to our relatives, family and friends, and therefore it was an exciting change, albeit we were not aware of the danger. We were taken to Liverpool, where we were housed again, slightly more civilized, in army barracks, and
do you know which one?
No, I'm sorry.
And what were you doing there? Were you just waiting, or were you actually?
We were waiting, and we were then enlisted in early February, mid February, into the Pioneer Corps, given the King's shilling. And at that time, the alien Pioneer Corps were embodied in the Territorial Army. We were then joined for duty and to Ilfracombe, where we had our military training.
Now, what was the situation?
Well, we were given uniforms, and we were treated like...
What do you remember about the kitting out?
We were kitted out with the usual British uniform, and we had shoulder flashes, which just said Pioneer Corps. We were not issued with rifles.
And what were the living conditions like?
They were proper army barracks.
Do you mean huts? Or
huts.
The older
yes, yeah. They were huts. In those days, mainly Nissen huts. I cannot forget that name. I will tell you later why. And we had British NCOs and a British sergeant major.
And how did they treat you?
Well, they treated us like normal British soldiers, but they, with an element of doubt, because they thought we were rather odd people. The younger ones, like ourselves, managed quite well. they were not very kind to the older ones who'd never been in the army. We had men over 40. They were then later on released, although some of them stayed with us right to the end of the war. The sergeant major, of course, shouted, bellowed at us during drill. We managed to turn right, left, marched, and altogether it was the normal.
How did you respond to drill? What did you think of drill?
Well,
the first time?
No, I had been drilled, of course, if you remember,
Of course,
in Germany, where I stayed at school until my 16th birthday, which is 1936, when we already were subjected to Nazi indoctrination and, of course, physical training.
So you'd done it there?
We did it there. We thought it was rather futile to march up and down a parade ground for hours. However, it is, I understand, the normal procedure in any army.
Now, was there any other training you got at Ilfracombe? You know, any other military training? You didn't have weapons.
We had no weapons at the time. And the, yes, the training was not at that time very military. We did, however, I believe every 10th person had a rifle. They were normally already enlisted and the non-commissioned officers, also alien officers. We had rifle training. We did learn how to shoot, but they weren't issued to us.
And what do you remember about learning to shoot?
Well, I had always had an air gun at home, and I was quite good at it. I enjoyed target practice. And we later on also had training in bayonet training. I remember in Ilfracombe filling sandbags. Ilfracombe is, of course, on the sea. North Devon has got nice beaches. We filled sandbags. We hung them up. Then were given a rifle. Some of us were given, it was almost a toy rifle, I believe. But the bayonet was fixed at the end, and we then had to shout abuse at the sandbag and pierce it with the short bayonet.
What do you think of this? Do you take it seriously? You
know? We did take it seriously. We did take it seriously. And we knew it was just part of necessary army training. We remembered our fathers, uncles who had been in the First World War. They were recounting similar stories.
Any other training you got there?
Well, I learned how to play bridge with my colleagues, and it was altogether quite pleasant.
Did you have any particular friends at the time?
I had two friends who had been with me in Canada, and we were, which I have forgotten to mention, we were actually the last Pioneer Corps company, alien Pioneer Corps company, to be formed. It was company number 251.
251. Now, that was being formed at the Pioneer Corps depot at Ilfracombe.
That is correct.
Now, what was the composition? We'll come back to you, friend. What was the composition of 251?
251 was 251 was formed in Ilfracombe under Major McKay, and the composition of the company was that we were mainly youngish people. The two people I remember
just to finish it, so it was formed in May.
It was formed in March.
March, sorry.
In March 1941.
So not long after you got there.
Not long after we got there.
And that would be your unit. Now, you were telling about your two friends. Who do you particularly remember?
Well, there was Freddie, with whom I actually had studied in Darlington, and another Fred, with whom I was quite friendly and got friendly in Canada. They were the two Freds. And other than that, we were, I think, quite a close-knit unit. We were mainly, as I say, youngish. We had gone through the same procedures. We'd been together in Canada, and we were all together very, it was a good we had good comradeship, and altogether it was quite pleasant. We actually got home leave to London, in my case, and that was also welcome. After all these months, I did see my mother and my brother again. We had in our unit Arthur Koestler, who must be known, the author, who actually fought in the also in the Spanish Civil War and became very famous through his books. He was totally unsuitable for military service. And
now, in what way? Can you tell? Because he is very well known. What do you remember of him? What did you think of him at the time?
Well, he was, of course, very successful. He'd written books, Midnight at Noon, I remember, which was one of his best books about the Spanish Civil War.
So you knew him? You knew him then? It wasn't.
Yes, we met him there. And for a very short time, we also met someone who became famous and infamous, namely Mr. Robert Maxwell.
Now, taking Koestler first, what did you think of Koestler?
Well, Koestler was definitely an intellectual. He was highly neurotic.
And what way? How did he show?
Neurotic in the sense that he did not very much participate in the military side. He was actually seconded as a batman to one of the officers.
Did you talk to him? Or?
Yes, I talked to him, and he was he was extremely unhappy. I think he used the Pioneer Corps just to get out of Canada. No, I don't even think he. No, I don't think he was in Canada. He just joined this company, probably from some other form of internment. I'm sure he did not join out of enthusiasm. So I do remember him well. He was actually released on medical grounds in probably very shortly after we had moved to Cheltenham in 1942.
Now, what about Maxwell, Robert Maxwell? Of course, he wasn't famous then, but do you have any memory?
Well, he was a very smart, I remember people warning me not to play poker with him because he always won. He was always winning. He was definitely military material. He became a captain later on and got the military cross. However, as a young man, he was very dashing, and he tried to get out of the Pioneer Corps into a fighting unit, which at that time was rather difficult.
Anybody else?
We had
that comes to mind.
Yes, we had mainly British officers. We were addressed by Lord Reading, who was the commander of the Alien Pioneer Corps, and he was very sympathetic to our past experiences, but extremely encouraging and saying, And in some effect, he rather praised us for taking part in this military operation, hoping that we would eventually win the war, which was extremely unlikely at that time. March 41 was probably one of our darkest days. We then...
Now, you said there was some story about Nissen huts. Was that then?
Not quite yet. Because we were actually moved to a place called Shirehampton.
Now, this is now... So the company formed at the...
In Ilfracombe, yes.
And then when it was formed, it moved to Shirehampton. Now, when was that?
Also in March. We were formed in Ilfracombe, and yes, our training could only have been for about a week or two, and we were then moved to Shirehampton in late March and worked in Avonmouth docks for the petrol board at the time.
Now, tell me a bit about that.
Well, I was in Avonmouth, and we were then actually housed in Nissen huts, and we worked in the docks, and we were loading these jerry cans, as we called them, or unloading them. I'm not quite sure, but however.
What was it like? What was as labour goes?
Well, it was hard work. I mean, we were. I forgot to mention our non-commissioned officers up to the rank of sergeant were like ourselves had been promoted, and some of them had actually come from other units. There were other Pioneer Corps units which were formed as early as 1940. I'm only talking about 251 Company, but there were already in existence other alien companies who were formed and actually went to France. I met quite a few of my later friends who had been to France, who were evacuated from Saint-Malo after Dunkirk. They really were... in great danger, because if they had been taken prisoner by the Germans, they would have had a very rough time.
So how did you find the working parties?
I did not think it extremely hard. I was, as I say, 21 years old. I was fit, and we were well treated. We were treated exactly like any other soldier. We had army rations. I remembered on those rare occasions I was granted weekend leave. We were extremely we were much better off than the civilian population as far as rations were concerned.
So what would you do on a weekend leave?
Well, I went home to London, where my mother and my young brother were living, and I stayed in London and with them for a weekend, and I drew my rations from the shops, and I remember our grocer always gave me an extra egg, which I shared with my mother and my brother. I think the civilians were only getting one egg a week. That's all I can remember, but again, nobody starved.
Now, what about German bombing, either in London or more likely, perhaps in Bristol?
You're quite right. In Bristol, in Avonmouth, they were trying to get the suspension bridge. And I remember my 21st birthday was in Shirehampton. We had considerable hostile air activity.
What do you remember of it?
Well, I remember on my 21st birthday, which was the 8th of May 1941, my mother had sent me a cake, which I believe she'd baked herself. We were we were stationed, where we were sleeping in a Nissen hut, about 22 men. Nissen hut is made of corrugated iron, as you probably know, with two wooden frames at either end with small windows. I remember we had one of the huts was hit. I can't remember whether there were any casualties, probably not, but the actual blast from the bomb moved my cake, which I had placed under my bed, right to the end where we had the wooden doors. As we were soldiers and our hut was meticulously clean, two of my friends helped me to scrape off the remnants of this lovely cake, which we then consumed.
That's why you remember Nissen huts.
Nissen huts and my 21st birthday.
And what about the rest of the bombing raids? On how bad were the raids on Bristol?
Well, the raids on Bristol were fairly bad, but they never hit suspension bridge, the Bristol over the River Avon. And
did they not attack Avonmouth and the docks?
They
as
did.
Well?
They did attack Avonmouth, but there was air activity. But for some reason or other, the Germans had not got their aims were not terribly the bombing was not terribly accurate. I know in Bristol they hit one or two other areas, but they never really got that. We stayed there until May, to the end of May, and then we were moved to Cheltenham in Gloucestershire. It was certainly not a sympathetic army command that moved us out of that area, because we were given a job of constructing roadblocks.
What type of roadblocks?
The roadblocks consisted of triangular steel girders. They were the shape of a triangle. And then we had to dig into the road with pneumatic drills, which incidentally we enjoyed greatly, because we had seen this before. But to work an automatic pneumatic drill was fantastic. We were even given earplugs because it was very noisy. I know I enjoyed this work. There are one or two stories. The roadblocks would have been totally ineffective in the case of an invasion, because the German tanks would have just gone round them. However, Cheltenham, as I remember it, was a haven of peace.